Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. I am riding solo for this one. I'm going to take you guys through a topic that I have teased, I think, roughly four or five shows at this point. And it's about how I think this offseason is going to play out. I've had a lot of people ask me specific, well, what do you think, how do we, you know, will the Lakers sign this guy? Do they have a chance at trading for this guy? Do they have a chance at signing this guy and retaining this guy? Look, specifics, I can't really predict. But what I have promised people and what I have told people is that I think that this offseason is going to be a boon or bust offseason, meaning I think either the Lakers get one or at least two superstars and build around the roster from there, or they don't get anybody and they are forced to continue with this long-term rebuild centered around or centered on the youth. And look, I think the one thing I do want to make sure that, and I'll get into this in the third segment, and I'll expand on this in the third segment, but I want to make sure that people know that while it is literally called a boon or bust offseason, I don't think there's a scenario here where the Lakers walk away from this offseason and are completely screwed. I think they have at least a foundation upon which to build, even if that rebuild is going to take a little bit longer. But I don't think there's a scenario where we walk away from this offseason and the Lakers are completely screwed to the point where you have to really legitimately worry about the direction of this organization. So I'm gonna get that out there right away. And the way today's show is going to go is we're going to talk about how we got here, because to me, process is very important. Then we're going to get on in the second segment. I'll talk about the possibilities and how I actually think it'll be a boon or bust, and I'll explain where I'm thinking or what I'm thinking there. And then finally, in the last segment, we'll get into how to react to however all of this plays out and the various scenarios that this all can play out. So as always, you guys know where to find the show. Megaphone, Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, Lakers Outsiders. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. Also, if there's any shows that you've missed, one of the things that I really try to do is I try to make these topics as evergreen as possible. So if there's a show that you've missed or a topic that I've discussed before, or you ask a question on iTunes and you see that there are questions on iTunes that very closely remember the question that you're going to type in there into the iTunes review, go back and listen to the old Monday mailbag shows or shows with previous guests. As we get deeper into the offseason, I'm going to start opening up the guest Rolodex so that, you know, we can really get into it with people that you want to hear from. If there's anybody that you want to hear from, let me know. And I'll do my best to do what I can to get this all figured out. Let's get into this, though. I'm going to start with how we got here, because to me, process is really important, not just from a standpoint of, okay, is the organization running efficiently, effectively? Do the roles make sense for the various people and where they currently sit? But I also think process, to a large extent, is a really good way to predict how things are going to go down the line. So if the Lakers strike out this upcoming offseason, well, why did they strike out? Why did they put themselves in this situation? And are they capable of learning from the situation in their efforts to continue to get better as an organization? So obviously, I think to me, this all starts with the rebuild and Julius Randle's rookie year or lack thereof, Jordan Clarkson's rookie year, D'Angelo Russell's rookie year, Brandon Ingram's rookie year, Lonzo Ball's rookie year, the D'Angelo Russell trade, and what that did for everybody. Like, all of those things are very important. Now, the issue is there's obviously a change in the administration. There's a change in the organization that we need to talk about. But for the most part, and this is one of the things, like, yes, there is a change at the helm of the organization, But a lot of what they're trying to do is very similar to what the previous administration was trying to do. Like, yes, Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss operated very differently in the media, in leaking stuff, in the way they there was a lot that they did that this current front office does differently. But all that said, their priorities were the exact same thing. They wanted to get to this very moment where they had the opportunity to potentially sign a superstar. Now, a fair place to kind of wonder is whether this or Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss would have made that D'Angelo Russell trade when they did, or when Magic and Pelinka did. Like, that's fair to wonder about. But I think, to me, a lot of what they were hoping to do, Magic and Pelinka are trying to do. And so you still have a little bit of consistency there, and the evaluations are not quite apples to apples, but they're like apples to pears, right? Apples to, I don't know, another similar apple fruit or something like that. But I think, to me, the process indicates to me that this is going to be something that if they strike out on the offseason here, well, then they're going to try to run it back next season. And how long they keep on kicking that can, who's to say? But I do think that to this point, they have told us quite clearly that their number one priority is to bring superstars to LA and build the team and the organization that way. Now, whether or not they'll be able to succeed in that, well, that's what segment B is going to be about. We'll get to that here in a second. So at the top of the show, I said that this is going to be a boon or bust offseason. And by that, I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, that the Lakers are, in my opinion, going to either sign LeBron and Paul George and maybe trade for a third guy, or they are going to walk away from this with some role players that they think can help the current core that they have, the young core that they have, continue to grow together. The reason for that is because of what we've learned from what NBA players want to do over the last few years. Kevin Durant goes to Golden State after they win 73 games. LaMarcus Aldridge goes to San Antonio to play with Kawhi Leonard. You can go on down the line. It's free agents, if they're going to leave somewhere, if they have a preferred destination, or if they might be if we think that they might want to team up with somebody, it tends to be if somebody of similar stature with them, both in talent and in celebrity and market base and all those things, right? And so that's why Paul George is considering staying in Oklahoma City, because he plays with somebody like Russell Westbrook, who is of similar stature, is of similar talent level, and he knows he has that to work with, right? And if the Lakers aren't able to convince, say, LeBron, I think they wind up missing out on Paul George. Or if they aren't able to make a Kawhi Leonard trade, I think there's a scenario here where they miss out on LeBron too, right? And look, there might be a situation here where LeBron comes by himself and he is that confident in his ability to make whatever players around him capable of contending for a championship, or maybe he's just not that interested or as interested in winning a championship. By all accounts, that is not the case. But you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see how that all plays out. But personally, I think either they go into next offseason with a few superstars or a couple superstars and maybe pieces of the young core to either turn into another superstar or pieces of the young core that they feel most confident is capable of continuing to grow and actually produce in a playoff situation. Like, that's how I think this plays out more likely than not. It's hard for me to see the Lakers completely striking out. Like, if you had to tell me, if you asked me, all right, which of the two situations, Boone or Buss, do I think is more likely to play out? I think Boone more likely than Buss, just based on what we've seen from the Lakers, historically speaking, and the amount of smoke that we see swirling around the organization. But I do think that the Lakers are probably going to walk away from this offseason either really happy, and Laker fans are going to be really happy, or we're going to say, well, what the bleep, right? Like, we've waited 5 years to get here. We've waited 6 years to get here. And you move D'Angelo Russell to open up this cap space, and all you're going to do with it is a few role players, and then you're going to tell me that all of a sudden next year is going to be different? Like, that would be that reaction, I think, would be 100% fair, right? But I think that's where the Laker fan base would be, is, and we'll see. I hope that they, if you ask me what's more likely, one or the other, Boone or Buss, I'd say Boone is more likely than Buss. And if you ask me which of the two I would prefer that the Lakers get a superstar or two. As fun as it has been to watch the kids grow, and as promising as I think these kids might be moving forward, there's a really good chance none of these kids, there's probably a much higher likelihood that none of these kids reach the heights that LeBron James is at right now, right? And there's a really good chance that none of the kids reach the height that Paul George is at right now. Maybe Lonzo Ball does down the line. Maybe he gets close. Maybe Brandon Ingram gets close. But for right now, if you had to ask me to wager on ways that this is all going to play out with these kids compared to the talent levels of the guys that they are currently interested in, you're asking quite a bit. Superstars happen way less often than decent role players or league average players. And yes, the Lakers have had quite a few shots or bites at the apple here. And yes, mathematically speaking, one of these guys probably should pan out to something close to what we're hoping that they pan out to. But that's no guarantee. And if you get a superstar here, or two superstars here, well, then now that becomes a guarantee. You are definitely getting a player of that stature. And whatever pieces of the young core are still around after the Lakers make those superstar acquisitions, well, that actually potentially boosts the likelihood of which that all these guys reach their ceiling. And that has to be taken into account here. So I think it's more likely they walk away with a superstar or two, two superstars, and then build the team around those guys. Then I think that they walk away with nothing. But look, even if they walk away with nothing, there's still reason to be optimistic about the direction of this franchise, as dark a time as that might seem, and I'll explain why here in a second. So if the Lakers walk away with nothing, let's say they wind up having to run it back. KCP comes back next season. Brooke Lopez comes back next season. Maybe they add a couple pieces here and there around those guys. Maybe they trade for somebody. Maybe they take on money so as to take on an additional asset moving forward. Like, I think even if that all plays out the way that plays out, the Lakers by no means are completely screwed. And here's why. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? They have Lonzo Ball in-house. They have Julius Randle in-house if they're able to retain him. Look, if they don't get... Here's the one situation where I think I would be legitimately pissed and really light this organization on fire on this show and in writing. If the Lakers don't sign superstars and they are not also able to retain Julius Randle, I will lose it. I will completely lose my stuff. You think you've heard hot takes from me before, but that would be damn near unmitigated disaster for the Lakers, because that tells me that, one, Magic Johnson is not the salesman that I was promised that he was going to be, and he was not able to convince the superstars that I was told he was going to be able to convince to sign in LA. but also he's spiteful. Because there were reports, and I've heard through my own back channeling as well, that there was some headbutting between him and Julius Randle early on, and that had a lot to do with the minutes and Randle's role being kind of bounced around in the way that it was. And if Magic doesn't re-sign Randle, that tells me that he still, after all of last season, still didn't walk away from that recognizing the talent that Julius Randle is and the value that that type of player that Julius Randle is capable of becoming and is already showing signs of being right now. Like those things, if I don't see that from Magic Johnson, I think that, and Rob Pelinka, like that's legitimate time to freak out a little bit. But I, all that said, I don't see that happening. Like either they sign LeBron and Paul George, and because of signing LeBron and Paul George, maybe they aren't able to move Lou Alding's contract, and Julius Randle winds up being a cap casualty. That would suck. But look, you still have LeBron and Paul George. Either that kind of situation happens, or they don't sign those guys and they're able to retain Randle and they go into next season with a lot of the same pieces that they had last year, which again, like, yes, they won 35 games, but Lonzo Ball missed 30 games. Brandon Ingram was dinged up for parts of the season. Brooke Lopez missed a chunk of the season. Larry Nance Jr. missed a chunk of the season. Luke Walton had that weird thing with Julius Randle that I alluded to earlier in the minutes there, right? Like there are things that if they go in the Lakers' direction, they were terrible in close games. If there are things that go in the Lakers' direction, you might be talking about a playoff contender. Not a playoff team, but a playoff contender. And if the Lakers go into next season with a lot of those same pieces and you see growth from guys like Lonzo and guys like Ingram and Kuzma and Randle, and maybe the Lakers get a few things going in their directions next season, well, maybe they can contend to make a playoff spot anyway. And if they do make a playoff spot without any superstars, well, then stars that become available next season might take a look at the Lakers and say, oh, what's going on over there, right? So I don't see a situation here where the Lakers are completely screwed. I do see a situation, though, where the entire Laker fan base is really disappointed because we were sold a bag of goods. And if the Lakers front office doesn't come through here, well, then you're kind of left saying, well, what the bleep, right? We were told this is what you guys were brought here to do. I was told that Magic Johnson's charisma was going to be enough to convince anybody he sat down in a room with. And if that doesn't happen, then you kind of got to wonder, like, okay, all right, so what are you actually good at, right? What are you going to bring to the table if it isn't that? Because that was the number one thing that we were told to be excited about upon your hiring. If the Lakers walk away with nothing, we've gone through that. If they walk away with superstars, well, then now you recalibrate your expectations. You still have to remain semi-realistic here. If you look at the recent history of all of these super teams that have come together, the gelling doesn't happen immediately. So when the season starts, don't expect like a 32-game winning streak just because LeBron and Paul George and whoever else is on the same court. Like, that's not how things generally work. You got to have a little bit of patience here. You got to hope that you see enough that they can build on as they gain their footing in playing with each other, but being each other's teammates and understanding how to interact with each other on and off the court. Like, those things are going to take time. So you should still be realistic, even if the Lakers if they do figure out everything this offseason, like that's what you still have to remain realistic, but we do get to kind of look ahead and say, all right, well, who are they capable of beating here? If the Lakers walk away with all three of Paul George, LeBron, and Kawhi, well, I think it's fair to kind of say, all right, I think the Lakers are a better team than the Houston Rockets. Are they better than the Warriors? No, I don't think so right away on paper. But are they capable of beating the Warriors in any given game? Yeah, I would say so. And from there, you kind of, all right, you start judging against the Eastern Conference. You don't have to judge against the Eastern Conference. They're trash. But you kind of get what I'm saying here. There is no scenario where the Lakers are completely screwed. But there is quite the gap between what they're capable of doing this upcoming offseason. On the high end, superstars. Magic is the hero once again. You get to see young guys get to come into their own while LeBron and Paul George or whoever garnered the lion's share of the attention, right? And when the playoffs arrive, or by the time the playoffs arrive, hopefully by that time, whichever young pieces are relied upon are ready for those moments, right? And then on the low end, yes, it would be disappointing because we've kind of been building to this for five-ish years. But the Lakers are still in a good spot moving forward with their young pieces. It all still, though, and here's the last point I'm going to make about this. It all does, and this is why I started with this, it all comes back to process. If the Lakers strike out on free agents here, are Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, Jesse Buss, are they capable of adapting to the new reality of the situation where, okay, Lakers exceptionalism is dead for the most part, and we have to be able to operate just like any of the other teams across the league? Are we capable of doing that? Can we continue to continue on this rebuild the way that we have? I think that's a fair question to ask, and it's something that Laker fans are going to have to ask of themselves and be, I wouldn't say concerned, but you definitely have to be cognizant of it, right? Like, that's something that's a talking point that we should all definitely talk about amongst ourselves and each other. But for right now, we're heading into, there's, 3 days left before the NBA draft. That'll be a fun night. I think that we'll see some fireworks across the NBA in terms of player movement that night and draft pick movement that night as teams position and posture themselves for a crazy offseason to come. And Woj apparently thinks that LeBron is going to take his time once again this offseason. I think I disagree, because he needs to get everything lined up to be able to play with teammates the way that he has in the way that one would think he wants to. But look, we might be in for another long haul where we have crazy rumors night in, night out, day in, day out, right? So we all might have to be ready for that. This was fun, though. I really appreciate you guys listening. I really appreciate you guys subscribing the way that you have and sending in questions via 5-star review the way that you have. I'm going to record with Pete tomorrow, and so Pete and I will figure out something to talk about together. I'm sure some kind of news will break that Pete and I can address. If you guys have any questions for Pete specifically, get them in as soon as you can, and I'll check the iTunes page before Pete and I go live or before we start recording, and maybe we'll be able to address that question there as well. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find me and the show on Twitter. Have a great rest of your day, everybody, and we will talk to you tomorrow.